KSDP, 830 AM in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
Coming up on the Children's Hour, we're going camping. Whether it's your first time in a tent or you're already a trail expert, our kids' crew share their favorite things about being outside. We also talk with leaders from Cottonwood Gulch Expeditions about backpacking and what to do if you see a bear, among other things. Plus, meteorologist Carrie Jones explains to us how to spot a storm before it hits and how to stay safe if you're camping or backpacking and bad weather comes up. Get ready and pack your bags as we head into nature this week on The Children's Hour. Stick with us. The Children's Hour is an independent production of The Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico-based nonprofit. We're distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American radio network.
It's time for The Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
What do bears call campers in sleeping bags?
I don't know what.
Soft tacos.
It's time for the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
Here we go.
C-A-M-P-I-N-G, camping. C-A-M-P-I-N-G, camping. Camping is fun, camping is fun, if you say it enough. Camping is fun, C-A-M-P-I-N-G, camping.
Well, the skeeters are fighting and the kids are biting. It's perfect weather with rain and lightning. The porridge is slopped, the flapjacks flopped. I'm telling dad jokes and I can't stop. Everybody's tired and then they're wired. Whoever burnt the marshmallows getting fired. The outhouse broke, thought it was a joke. But then I ran out of toilet paper out in the woods. So I used some poison oak. Camping is fun, camping is fun. If you say it enough, camping is fun. For sticks, I found some ticks and I ate a worm with my trail mix. Falling in the air, sapping our hair, leeches down in our underwear. I fell off a tree, I broke my knee, and that grizzly bear doesn't like me. Who's to blame? The tent's in flames and the kids are in the van playing video games. Camping is fun, camping is fun. If you say it enough, camping is fun.
Oh, we couldn't find the lake, I got bit by a snake. My back and my brain and my butt ache. Horses neigh, sunburn, yay. I used 5 cans of bug spray. The coffee froze, I can't feel my toes. And a spider crawled up into my nose. Food got charred and the ground's too hard. And you know, maybe next time we'll just camp in the backyard.
Camping is fun, camping is fun. If you say it enough, camping is fun. C-A-M-P-I-N-G, camping.
All together now.
C-A-M-P-I-N-G, camping. Camping is fun, camping is fun, if you say it enough.
Heck, camping is fun,
C-A-M-P-I-N apostrophe camping. C-A-M-P-I-N-G camping.
That was the Okie Dokie Brothers with Campin'. from their Songs for Singing release. I'm Katie Stone. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm here with a whole lot of great kids. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
And who do we have with us today?
Hi, it's Melissa.
Hi, it's Evan.
Hello, it's Zen.
Hi, it's Luminana.
Hi, it's Daniel.
Hi, it's Octavia.
Hello, it's Amadeus.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, it's me, Imogene.
Hi, it's Maya.
Hi, it's Isaac.
Hi, it's Lucas.
Well, thanks for being here, everyone. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about camping with kids. And some of our guests are from an organization here in New Mexico that takes people from all over the world, and especially around here, camping and on backpacking trips, including adults and teenagers and kids in school. Then we're also going to be meeting with a meteorologist who has advice for us about staying safe in bad weather when we're camping. And we're going to hear from Isaac on our kids crew about his camping experiences. But first, is there anyone else on the crew who loves to go camping?
Me!
Imogene, tell us a little bit about camping.
It's really, really fun, and you just sleep outside in the forest or wherever, and you can also backpack, and you sleep either in a tent or just on the ground, and you sleep in a sleeping bag, and yeah.
Sometimes you can even camp in your own backyard, which is pretty fun too.
And you get to do a lot of activities too.
Yeah, what kind of activities do you do, Illy, when you go camping?
Sometimes I do tie-dye. I like to paint rocks.
Sometimes I like to go camping and just forge out hiking from my spot in lots of different directions. It's just a beautiful way to enjoy nature. And we have a lot more we're going to learn about camping, how we stay safe in the woods, how we learn to plan for weather, and hear about some of the kids' experiences too. If you want to follow along on our playlist, you can go to childrenshour.org, look for this episode, Camping with Kids. This is Tracy Singer, right here on the Children's Hour.
Oh, let's go on a camping trip to see the great outdoors. There ain't no scene like a mountain green, and Mom will make some s'mores. We'll float on a tube down the river and go fishing from its shores. Let's go on a camping trip to see the great outdoors.
Last Friday we went camping, it was the perfect day. But Dad forgot to stake the tent and we watched it blow away. We had to sleep outside that night beneath the stars so clear. Till our noses froze and I slept in a car with an elbow in my ear.
Oh, let's go on a camping trip to see the great outdoors. There ain't no scene like a mountain green, and Mom will make some s'mores. We'll float on a tube down the river and go fishing from its shores. Let's go on a camping trip to see the great outdoors.
I went down to the water to jump into the lake, but I wasn't watching where I walked and I stepped right on a snake.
Oops.
I screamed and yelled and hollered as I did a crazy dance. Then I felt a trickle down my leg, 'cause yup, I wet my pants.
Oh, let's go on a camping trip to see the great outdoors. There ain't no scene like a mountain green, and Mom will make some s'mores. We'll float on a tube down the river and go fishing from its shores. Let's go on a camping trip to see the great outdoors.
My family went a hiking along the mountain trail. Forgot to bring the bug spray, you can guess my sorry tale. Mosquitoes dined on us like they were at the brunch buffet. And I think I even heard them belch as they turned and flew away.
Mosquito, mosquito, how can thou be so cruel? You've left me in such misery and scratching like a fool. Oh, can there be a balm to heal the pain you've brought to me? Nay, only when I smoosh thee will I find my victory. Oh, let's go on a camping trip to see the great outdoors. There ain't no scene like a mountain green, and Mom will make some s'mores. We'll float on a tube down the river and go fishing from its shores. Let's go on a camping trip to see the great outdoors.
We sat around the campfire, the smoke was very thick. I gathered up a marshmallow and I put it on a stick. The marshmallow was burning, so I waved it in the air. But it flew off like a rocket and set fire to Grandma's hair.
What? Oh, let's go on a camping trip to see the great outdoors. There ain't no scene like a mountain green, and Mom will make some s'mores. We'll float on a tube down the river and go fishing from its shores. Let's go on a camping trip to see the great outdoors.
We had one day of camping left, but we went home instead. I could barely make my legs move as I staggered into bed. Later I got happy news that made me jump and shriek, when Dad said we'd be going camping once again next week.
Oh, let's go on a camping trip to see the great outdoors. There ain't no scene like a mountain green, and Mom will make some s'mores. We'll float on a tube down the river and go fishing from its shores. Let's go on a camping trip to see the great outdoors.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. Today on the show, we're thinking about camping with kids. And we wanted to invite the organization Cottonwood Gulch to join us and help us understand the best ways that kids can camp with adults and adults can camp with kids and even go backpacking. Cottonwood Gulch is a nearly 100-year-old organization that has taken thousands of children and adults camping and backpacking all over the southwestern United States. With us on the show is their executive director, Jordan Stone, who is no relation to me, and an eighth grade teacher who has participated in many backpacking and camping trips with her students and Cottonwood Gulch, Nina Pontiki. Welcome to both of you to the Children's Hour.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Katie.
Where can just anyone go camping?
So there are places to camp all around. And right now, some campgrounds are closed. So you want to check before you go and make sure that if you're going to an established campground, that it's open. And if not, then there are a lot of places on National Forest land and BLM, Bureau of Land Management land, where you can go and find a great spot and pull off to the side of the road and camp right there. As long as you're away from the road and away from other people. So there's lots of different places you can go. And if you want to contact us at Cottonwood Gulch or call the Forest Service or other places, we can give you some tips on some of our favorite spots.
We've got links posted at childrenshour.org. Look for Camping with Kids. Let's go to Illy.
What is camping?
That's a great question. So for people who don't know what camping is, camping is when we get to go outside and sleep in nature, just us and all of the natural things around us.
Imogene, earlier on the show, you mentioned backpacking. Can you tell us a bit about your backpacking experience?
Me and my family, we go backpacking a lot, like every year. Since I was 5, we've gone backpacking and Bears Ears, which is about 20 miles and is really fun. And this year we're going to go to Grand Gulch and hike a loop like 40 miles, I think. They're close.
Wow, that's a long backpack. That's a longer backpack than I've ever done. That's pretty impressive, Imogene.
Imogene, describe what it's like to be on a backpacking trip.
So you have big frame backpacks that you have to take, and you also walk. So, like, you sleep for the night, but you also hike a few miles in the day. And then you can take a break and sleep places. And you bring, like, a sleeping bag. But your food, it has to be, like, dehydrated or really light, because if it's too heavy, it will be really hard to carry.
Well, that leads to another question. Where do you find water when you're out hiking around in the middle of nowhere?
I have only been backpacking a couple times. I usually take my eighth graders every year and we go on a 5-day backpack in the Gila. And when we travel near a stream and we actually use the stream water. We purify it, and that's how we make sure we have enough water as we're walking.
What is something that I should bring on a camping trip?
It's important to pack smart when you go camping. You think about what you want to take. If you're car camping, it's nice because you can get what fits in the car. If you're going backpacking, it's a different story. So just for car camping, it's important to bring things like comfortable shoes for walking, a tent, a sleeping bag, or somewhere to sleep, some sort of shelter to sleep under, and food. Another important thing to bring, this might sound a little funny, but it is important to pack out your waste. So you can go to the bathroom outside, but we don't like leaving any trash or anything behind that animals could get to that they wouldn't have naturally in their environment. We like to say that you pack out what you pack in.
Are you including packing out, like if you go to the bathroom, packing that out?
So depending on where you are, number two can actually make the animals around there pretty sick if they end up eating it. So it's okay to go number one out in the wilderness, but sometimes it's really important that you, just like you would pick up your dog poop on a walk, you pick up your own poop and bring it back out with you and throw it in a trash can here in the human world.
Well, you can get special scented bags for this sort of thing at any kind of outdoor store. Let's go to Isaac.
How do you avoid bears eating your food when you camp?
Definitely put your food away. Bears are one, but not the only natural thing that loves to eat. So we hide our food from bears and bugs and mice and all of the things that love to get into our food. Couple easy ways. If you're car camping, pretty simple. Just stick it in your car, lock your car up, make sure it's put away. If you keep food out or even in your tent, the animals, the critters can come and find it. They have amazing senses of smell, so they will come find your food. If you're backpacking, which is a kind of camping where you take all of your stuff and you move away from the cars and away from the roads and people and go out into backcountry, you take something called a bear bag, which is a bag attached to a long rope, and they put it up, you hang it up high in a tree away from all the critters.
What would you do if you see a bear?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first thing I would say, it's important to not try to attract bears. So make sure that you don't leave food out or do anything like that. And the bears usually stay away from you. Depending on where you are, you may see black bears or you may see grizzly bears. Here in New Mexico, we don't have any grizzly bears, only black bears. And usually if you're with a group, it's good to come together. And when they see a lot of people together, they usually just run away and it's not a big issue. Black bears are not super aggressive, but it's good to try to avoid tempting them into your camp in the first place.
That's the voice of the executive director of Cottonwood Gulch Expeditions. His name is Jordan Stone, and Nina Pontiki is our other guest. She's a middle school teacher who takes her students on backpacking and camping trips. You're listening to the Children's Hour. We're talking about kids and camping. And if you go down to the woods today, you might be in for a big surprise. This is The Persuasions.
Boom, boom, boom. If you go down to the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. Boom, boom. If you go down to the woods today, you better go in disguise. Boom, boom, boom. For every bear ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic. Boom, boom, boom. Every teddy bear who's been good is sure of a treat today. Boom. There's lots of marvelous things to eat and wonderful games to play. Boom, boom. Beneath the trees where nobody sees, they hide and seek as long as they please, 'cause that's the way the teddy bears have their picnic.
picnicking on their holiday. See them gaily gab about. They love to play and shout, they never have any cares. At 6 o'clock, their mommies and daddies will take them out to bed because they're tired little teddy bears.
If you go down to the woods today, you better not go alone. It's lonely down in the woods today. It's safer to stay at home. For every bear that ever there was will gather there together, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs supports the Children's Hour. The Arts Alive program on Museum Hill in Santa Fe is free for all ages in June and July. Plan your summer visit at museumhill.net. The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico-based educational nonprofit that is supported by listeners just like you. You can learn how you can help make Kids Public Radio at childrenshour.org. John McCutcheon from a CD called Autumn Songs, Campfire. And before the break, you heard the Persuasions with their version of the Teddy Bears Picnic. You're tuned to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone, and with us today is Jordan Stone, no relation. He's the executive director of Cottonwood Gulch and one of their educators, Nina Puntiki. They're talking about camping.
What are the basic rules of camping?
There aren't really a lot of rules of camping. One important thing to remember is to follow the directions given to you by the people who take care of the land you're going to. So before you go camping, it's really important to go and check online to see whether camping is okay, to see if they have any rules. And usually the places who manage these sites will tell you exactly what they expect of you. One big rule, like I said before, is to always leave the place, if not as you found it, then better than you found it. So make sure you're not leaving trash behind. Make sure you're not making that not a healthy place for nature to thrive.
And I would add that one of the top rules that I have is you want to have fun out there. If you're going outside, it should be something that's going to make you feel refreshed, and you should find ways to really fall in love with the natural world. And so being committed to finding cool things and exploring and having fun is usually rule number one in my book.
How does drought affect camping, or does it even affect camping?
When we have big droughts, it very much affects camping in the sense that when you go camping, a lot of times the food that you make is cooked over an open fire. Drought can affect the areas that are allowed to have open fires and not allowed to have open fires. So make sure, again, that you're checking in with the people who are running these sites to make sure that it's okay before you start a campfire. Also, a campfire not having s'mores just changes camping, you know, a little bit. You got to figure out how to make a fake fire sometimes. Sometimes at the Gulch, we have to have campfires without fire. And usually we just put an electrical lantern right in the middle of us, and we still get to sit around and have a fun campfire together.
And I suppose for other places in the country, when it gets too wet or flooding or raining, you couldn't have a campfire then either.
It's true. Usually we collect firewood out instead of bringing our firewood with us. And so if you go out to search for firewood and it's all soaking wet, it doesn't light on fire, and that's no good either.
Are campfires safe?
First of all, make sure you check the local fire restrictions. Depending on the time of year, you might not be allowed to have a campfire, or maybe you will, but it's good to check that before you go and make sure that you know. Then you want to make sure that when you have a fire, and I agree, it's a blast, it's really fun and really important, that there's always somebody there with it, that you have water nearby in case a little spark goes out, and that when you're done, you drown it completely to the point where you can easily touch it with your hand and it feels cool. And if you do that, then you're going to be good. You're not going to start a forest fire.
What do you do if you get lost?
Because the Gulch takes so many kids with them hiking and camping and backpacking in places that we've never been before, one of the things that we've learned that's really cool is that every kid wears a whistle. So if you keep a whistle on you, you can attach it to your backpack, since that's a thing you'll usually have with you. Or you can keep it on a lanyard around your neck. But if you keep wandering, you can get even more lost. So the first thing you do is recognize that you're lost and stay where you are. The second thing that you do is you blow your whistle very loudly 3 times, and then you wait where you are. And if you don't hear anyone, you blow your whistle again 3 times. One thing that helps not to get lost is to always stay on the trails. It's really important when you are hiking and camping for a lot of reasons to stay on the trails, but getting lost is definitely one of them. Another reason is if you don't stay on the trails, then we're trampling on nature that is all over the place. So we try and stay on the trails and stay with our family. But if you do get lost, having a whistle is a great idea.
What do you do if you get poison ivy?
again, the best thing is to try to look out and keep an eye out and avoid it if you can. But if you do get it, you can use some hydrocortisone cream, which can help with the itch. It's also good to wash where you got it and wash any clothes that you were wearing in case any of the oils are left on the clothes or on your skin so that it doesn't spread anymore. But usually it's going to itch for a while, and you can use some hydrocortisone cream and eventually it'll go away.
We've been visiting with Nina Puntakey and Jordan Stone. They're from Cottonwood Gulch Expeditions. Thank you so much for being on the Children's Hour with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I hike into the forest with my big boots on a quest to find the perfect spot to camp till dawn. Had all my camping gear in the pack on my back, sleeping bag, thermarest, flashlight, bear cord, pocket knife, compass, maps, bear sack. Well, I traveled till I almost reached the mountain top, till the setting sun told me it was time to stop. And then I found a little clearing where the ground was flat. I set up my tent, I started to unpack. Got a powerful craving for the ultimate campfire snack. You take a graham cracker and a little piece of chocolate, a roasted marshmallow and another crack on top of it. I'm gonna make some more, I'm gonna make some more, I'm gonna make some more, I really have it all, I really have it all, I really have it all. So I dug a fire pit, gathered up some wood, little twigs and big logs to make it super good. And when the flames got going, 'twas a sight to see. Every color of the rainbow, red, orange, yellow, white, even violet, blue, and green. So I went off to search for a roasting stick. Found a branch a little bit thin, a little bit thick. And then I hunkered down to where the coals were burning sweet and prepared to roast the perfect marshmallow for the tastiest and most spectacular campfire treat. You take a graham cracker and a little piece of chocolate, roasted marshmallow and another bag of papa vino. I'm gonna make some more, I'm gonna make some more, I'm gonna make some more, they really have it all, they really have it all, they really have it all. Sticky, good, finger licky. Rich, sweet, a pleasure to eat. Crunchy, chewy, melty, ooey gooey. S-O-M-E-M-O-R-E, S apostrophe M-O-R-E, S-S-O-M-E-M-O-R-E. Yes! The moon was full and the stars so bright, I didn't even need to use my big flashlight. When I snuggled down deep in my sleeping bag bed, I had visions of you know what danced through my head.
Charity and the Jam Band from a CD called Party Like a Twinkle Star. You're listening to the Children's Hour. Coming up, we're going to be talking with Carrie Jones. He's the lead meteorologist at the National Weather Service in Albuquerque, and we're going to ask him about staying safe from bad weather when you're outside hiking and camping. Coming up next, Unhurried Journey is the name of this CD by Elena Moon Park, and this is the title track right here on the Children's Hour.
Through fear. If you're not from or have never visited the southwestern United States, you probably think roadrunners are just cartoon characters, right?
Meep meep.
Actually, they are real. And fast, too. How about this? Have you ever heard of a Gila monster? Those aren't cartoon fantasy either. They're a species of venomous lizard native to the southwestern United States and the northwestern Mexican state of Sonora. Here's a fun fact. In 1952, the Gila monster became the first venomous animal to be given legal protection. They're now protected in all states of their distribution. Gila monsters are listed as nearly threatened by the International Union for Conservation of Nature. Now, I can see how you might be thinking, wait a minute, why are they called Gila monsters? The name Gila, spelled G-I-L-A, refers to the Gila River Basin in the U.S. states of Arizona and New Mexico, where the Gila monster was once plentiful. And that habitat is what I want to tell you about today. I recently took a 3-day backpacking trip into the Gila National Forest in western New Mexico, and it was awesome. The forest is serene, beautiful, rustic, vast, and has a very interesting history. The Gila Wilderness was designated the world's first wilderness area on June 3, 1924. The wilderness is approximately 27 miles, or 43 kilometers, from north to south, and 39 miles, or 63 kilometers, east to west. And picture this. Motorized and mechanized vehicles, including bicycles, are not allowed. No roads, buildings, logging, or mining either. However, camping, hunting, and fishing are allowed with proper permit. So, you guessed it, it's a backpacking paradise. In the early 10 and 1100s, a group called the Mimbres inhabited the Gila Wilderness. The Mimbres were a subgroup of the Mogollon people, and they left behind cliff dwellings and extensive ruins that can still be visited today. Sometime between the 12 and 1600s, the Chiricahua band of Apaches came to the area. They were very protective of their land, so the Gila remained undeveloped until the 1870s. In the 1920s, a man named Aldo Leopold, an American writer, philosopher, naturalist, scientist, ecologist, forester, conservationist, and environmentalist. Impressive! Anyway, he suggested that the Gila Wilderness area should be preserved. He fought for this until the Gila Forest became the very first national forest in 1924. On my backpacking trip with my family, we got to walk about 10 miles and cross the cold and amazingly clear Gila River multiple times in 3 days. We also got to see giant sulfur-stained cliffs and lush plant life. We had a magical time. Being in the Gila Wilderness taught me that no matter where I am, exploring and enjoying the outdoors is a great life-enhancing experience. No matter where you live or where you visit, any time is a great time to breathe fresh air and walk into an adventure. The Gila Wilderness. Look it up. Or look up a nature preserve, nature walk, hiking trail, forest, or wilderness near you. Then, get backpacking. This is Isaac Lacerda for the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
Many thanks to the Outpost Performance Space for hosting the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is supported by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support for the Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. The Children's Hour is great road trip radio. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts on any podcast app. Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour radio show. You can keep up with the Children's Hour by subscribing to our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org.
Thank you.
single day. Flowers and trees and birds and animals. There's so many games that we can play.
Outside for a better inside is Kelly Hunt right here on the Children's Hour. Our next guest is an avid backpacker and hiker and also a meteorologist. Carrie Jones has long been a favorite guest of ours on the Children's Hour. Welcome back, Carrie Jones.
Yes, thank you so much, Katie. It's always a pleasure.
Today we're talking about camping with kids. And whenever I think of camping, I always think about the weather. So many things could happen when you're out in the wilderness. And I just was hoping that you could give our listeners some safety tips about recognizing when really inclement weather is coming or really bad weather is coming and folks need to take shelter. Can you talk a little bit about what kind of extreme weather people might see when they go camping?
Well, it's an excellent topic. I know with my own family, we spend a lot of time outdoors, a lot of time camping, a lot of time backpacking. And so when we talk about camping, I mean, obviously if you're car camping or you're at a kind of a situation or a campground where you can seek a shelter inside a sturdy building or a vehicle, then that's obviously your number one choice and option. But when you're backpacking, as I do quite a bit, you know, you don't have that luxury. And so I think recognizing the sky and kind of the clues that the atmosphere gives us before inclement weather can hit, it's a big part of it. But even then, sometimes you just don't know, and you're often caught off guard. If you're in the situation where you cannot get to a sturdy shelter, and when I say sturdy, I mean four sides. You know, I'm not talking about a metal awning or a kind of a patio cover. When we talk about sturdy shelter, we're talking about four walls, and a lot of campgrounds do have that. Otherwise, yeah, head to the vehicle, get inside your car. And actually, it's not the tires. You know, that's a general myth, is that the four rubber tires protect you when you're inside your car or vehicle. That's just not the case. It's actually the structure of the vehicle, the frame, and so forth. So generally, Katie, you know, there really is no safe place in the outdoors during a thunderstorm. So if you hear distant rumbles of thunder, that's your first sign. That's the time to seek those shelter options, not to wait. If you can hear thunder, we generally say that you're within the striking distance of a thunderstorm. Lightning is often detected 10 to 15 miles away from where the rain is actually taking place. So you need not be getting wet during a thunderstorm to be in danger. And I think that's where people, unfortunately, especially in outdoor settings, get in trouble.
I heard about this thing called heat lightning. It was when you could see lightning really far away, flashing. We always said, oh, that's just caused by the heat. Is heat lightning really a thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, in fact, you might see, you know, areas in the West, and then, I mean, where I live, you know, you can see thunderstorms, you know, 50, 60, 70 miles away, sometimes even farther. And so I might see a very far distant flash of lightning, especially in the evening or when the sun has set. But I never hear the thunder. You know, thunder is just sound waves. The speed of sound is, you know, 6 to 7 miles in 30 seconds. We'll see a flash, you know, of lightning, and you kind of start counting. That's kind of the old old rule of thumb.
One Mississippi, two Mississippi.
Yeah. If you get to 10, then generally, you know, the thought was, and I have to emphasize was, that the thunderstorm was far enough away. We kind of got rid of that because lightning can strike 10 to 15 miles away from where the thunderstorm is. Well, if you're kind of basing it on kind of the 30-second rule, so you kind of count to five, then the thunderstorm is perhaps closer, you know, within 6 to 7 miles. And so we don't really encourage basing any kind of decision on counting how many seconds it is between the time you see a lightning flash and the time you hear thunder. Whether or not you actually see the lightning or not, it's the thunder that matters. And so if you're hearing rumbles of thunder, that's your sign. That's when you start to seek shelter immediately. Do not delay when you hear thunder. You know, if you're camping, you're planning hikes and stuff, I mean, the first thing I tell my own family, as well as anyone that will listen, is that plan ahead. Most often, thunderstorms will occur in the afternoon or evening. So it's probably not the best time to start out on a hike at, you know, after lunch. That's going to put you in areas that are going to be susceptible to thunderstorms, you know, at 2, 3 in the afternoon. That's just not wise planning. So a lot of mitigating the risk in the outdoors is simply planning ahead. Plan early in the day for those types of hikes. Don't be out on the lake, you know, in the middle of the afternoon, and certainly not in the middle of the afternoon when there's towering thunderheads in the vicinity. It's just a recipe for danger, you know, getting caught. And if it's not lightning, you know, it can be any other, you know, hazards from a thunderstorm, to include wind. Strong winds from thunderstorms can emanate miles away from where the thunderstorm impact is. Lightning is certainly the number one hazard to be concerned about, but there are certainly others.
Are folks safe if they go inside their tent, or if a thunderstorm strikes in the middle of the night and they're in a tent? Is that a safe place to be?
It's not safe, Katie, but I will say I've been exactly in that position. Of course, when you're in a tent, I mean, you have like a thin nylon separating you from the outside, so it's not going to protect you. But given everything else, what are the options? Let's say that you're camped at a lake and there is a sturdy shelter, right, that's available, whether it's a restroom, something that's designated as a storm shelter. So if you make a decision to leave your tent and kind of make a run for that shelter, are you passing very tall trees? Are you going across maybe some low water areas that could be flooded? So you have to assess, are you better just staying put? Or, you know, are you close enough, say 50 yards away, that you can get to the shelter in time and not put yourself in additional danger? So those are always tough decisions. And I think before, again, I would come back to the planning piece. If you're at a lake and you are in a tent situation, you should be thinking ahead, saying, okay, if we do have a thunderstorm at 2 in the morning, here's the plan. Here's what we're going to do, instead of having to make those decisions in the middle of the event. There's also scenarios, unfortunately, where, you know, lightning can strike a nearby tree, for example, and sometimes bark can be projectiles. You know, it might not be the actual lightning strike, but it could be something kind of indirectly related that could impact you as well. As I said, I think having those conversations and having a plan before we get into those situations really plays a huge role.
When we get rainstorms, places that seem like beautiful little canyons can turn into torrential rivers in a matter of seconds, even when the thunderstorm isn't in the area that you think you're in. It might not be raining on you in that little canyon, and yet this wall of water could come down from the mountains. What tips do you have about sudden flash floods?
The best thing, and I think what you're going to hear, especially if you're outdoors camping, is move to higher ground. And that may seem on its face kind of like, well, one of those common sense measures, but it does and will save your life, literally. There are cases where if you are in these areas where the water starts to rise rapidly, or you are in a very precarious situation, the best thing to do is just to get to higher ground. And whatever that means, literally stopping what you're doing and literally scurrying to higher ground.
Carrie Jones is a meteorologist and knows a lot about the weather and yet still goes camping because it's so fun. Carrie Jones, thank you so much for being with us again on the Children's Hour. We learn a lot from you every time. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Katie. It's always a pleasure.
Boom, rattle, and a crack, crack, crack. Very exciting. Sometimes when it's loud, it gets a little bit frightening. My dog gets a wind bar, jumps under the bed. He's down there hiding with his paws on his head.
light up like the 4th of July. Thunder and lightning are so very striking. The sky comes alive and it's much to my liking. We gaze out the window, the wonders we see as the world lights up with electricity. Across the sky, watch the night light up like the 4th of July. The sky is a canvas for each lightning bolt. It's painted so lovely and it gives me a jolt. Hear the big old rumbling across the sky. Watch the night light up like the 4th of July. Hear the big old rumbling across the sky. Tonight light up like a 4th of July.
Thunder and Lightning is Rhesus Monkey from a release called Hot Air. And you are listening to the Children's Hour in the background. This is the Django Festival All-Stars. We've posted a lot of links and other information to childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Camping with Kids. I hope you find yourself camping or backpacking or hiking or even just going for a walk today. It's such a beautiful day, no matter the weather. We're going to go out with one more, one of our favorites. This is Israel Kamakawu Ule right here on the Children's Hour. We'll catch you next time.
Can I? Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
Today's episode was written and produced by me, Katie Stone, with production help from Sarah Gabrielli, Daniel Lentz, and Isaac Lacerda. You can find a full playlist, links, pictures, and so much more at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Camping with Kids.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour,
or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native